The title of my offertory today is Generosity. And I would like to just share a little bit about a book that I read as a child. The most memorable children's book that I had as a kid was The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. What made it particularly memorable for me was the emotional response that I had when reading it. It's unlike every other children's book in that it evokes in me, at least, a wide range of emotion. Love, and sadness, anger, even, and joy. I ran across this book when I was shopping at Target a few months ago with my own children. A few years ago, I hadn't seen the book for years, probably since I was a kid. And I picked it up just to browse through it. I was like, I remember this one. It's got a very distinct green cover with a kid like pulling an apple from the tree on the front of it. And sure enough, it made me feel in the exact same way I did. I felt tears begin to well up. I'm not even kidding. And I put it back on the shelf and tried to shake it off. In fact, I was telling my wife about it this morning. For whatever reason, this book just makes me cry. It's the weirdest thing. I wasn't even looking at it when I was explaining it to my wife. When I was just had my glasses off, just full on tears. It was bizarre. So anyway, some of you may know about the book, some of you may not. So I do want to share a little bit about what this story is about. It's about a relationship between a tree and a young boy. And this tree loved this boy. And the boy also loved the tree. They would spend every day playing, having fun, enjoying their time together. The tree offered the boy everything that he needed. Companionship, someone to play with. The tree offered branches for him to swing upon, apples that he could eat, shade under which he could sleep, and all manner of environment for imaginative play to take place. It was truly a magical moment to see this relationship between this tree, this anthropomorphized tree, and this little boy. And as time goes on in this story, this boy becomes older, as people do, age, and he had different needs. As the boy became a young man, he needed money, and the tree offered her apples for the young man to sell and make money, and giving those apples made the tree very happy. And the story proceeds throughout the life of the boy in like manner. This boy becomes an older man, and he's always looking for something that the tree could give him to make him happy, and it seems as if this boy never really does find happiness in what he takes from the tree. But the tree, out of her love for the boy, gives him everything that she has, from apples to branches with which the boy was able to build a house, and even her trunk with which he made a boat so that he could sail away and become happy moving away. And as this book comes to an end, that tree, you could imagine, is no longer a tree, but has been reduced to a stump. And as the boy, now an elderly man, returns, this tree was once happy to see this boy, but now this tree is sad because she thinks she has nothing more to offer. I have no branches for you to swing from, no apples to give you to eat, no trunk, even, from which to climb. I'm only a stump. And this elderly man now, he didn't need any of those things anymore. And he just was looking for a place to rest. And the tree became happy because that was the one thing that she could offer him. What makes this story beautiful, heart-rending, to me, is the unconditional love and generosity that this tree has for this boy. The expression of that love in this story is filled with generosity. She gave what she could for the boy's needs so that he would be happy, without consideration for her own substance, right? And it gave this tree great joy to offer up what she did. What also stands out so strongly in the story is how it is the act of giving that makes this tree happy. Generosity is a beautiful thing to practice. When we are generous in our actions, truly from our heart, it is an expression of love. I'd like to open up to Acts chapter 20 and read verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Oh, hold on a minute. Sorry, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. How about that? A little better. You know, I was talking about aging. You know, as I'm getting older, my vision is not so good up close. So, anyway, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In this passage, Paul explains that he is not seeking material gain. He's not looking for riches and precious metals, gold and silver, or even clothing. He's not concerned with getting. What he is concerned with is giving, making sure that the weak are supported. This is the right motivation to have. He is interested in his life to support the brethren. And he is content to do his own work, to sustain his own being, to support himself. And he concludes by explaining how important it is to be generous. Giving, he says, is superior, far superior, to taking. It's better to be on the giving end than the receiving end. Brethren, we have just observed the Passover. Today is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And during this time, we are mindful of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He gave his whole life. Talk about an act of generosity. And he did this with joy, knowing that the sacrifice of his own life would benefit all mankind. All he had to do was suffer once and die once as a human. He gives us a perfect example of generosity. We've probably read this. I know that we did here in Fort Collins during our Passover service, but I would like to reiterate John 15, verses 11 through 13. In the words of Jesus Christ, he says this, John 15 and verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." This is the very generous act that Jesus Christ performed for us. He has love for us, and he gave his whole life. Giving, generosity, that is an expression of love typified by Jesus Christ's example. Going to Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is our example to follow. This Samaritan, moved up by compassion and love, outgoing love for this complete stranger lying in the ditch. What did he do? He went out of his way to care for this wounded stranger, providing for his needs without expecting anything in return. This was an act of kindness that exemplifies love for one another through selfless generosity. This is a heartwarming display in which intention is made manifest by action. It's not enough just to say, "I wish you well," and go about your own business if you can do more. Although this was a demonstration of love between people, the principle of generosity extends to the way that we bring our offerings to God. As I mentioned, this is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is one of God's commanded holy days, during which we are instructed to appear with an offering. God doesn't command us in our offering to put our livelihood at risk. We don't have to, you know, forsake our rent money or mortgage money so that we can give an offering. That's not his point in commanding an offering. Our offering is, however, an expression of our gratitude and love for God that demonstrates how thankful we are that he's working in our lives, that he blesses us. As we give our offering to God today, consider what it shows to him about what is in our heart. Please turn to Luke chapter 6, and I'll read verse 38. Luke 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Note that when we give, what we receive is delight that runs over in our bosom. That's right here. Our gift should delight God, and it should also give us joy. When we give out of the abundance of our heart, it pleases God tremendously.